This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Runs in ahead of steam.
The Knicks have been searching for ways to create the cap space to make a competitive offer to Jalen Brunson, and they found it in a big way.
They get rid of Noel and Alec Burks, who I kind of liked, attached a couple second-round picks and some money.
The front office's job is to get the pieces that can succeed, and then it's about the coach putting those pieces in the best position.
This is an all-in move for Leon Rose and his group.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it is DPHRO and Rothenberg. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. And I should tell you that what I learned on TikTok was brought to you by the Jackpocket app. Play official state lottery games on your phone. Download the app. Get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket free using code ESPN. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for terms of service. So we've been talking a lot this morning about the Knicks. They are kind of the front page story with the news last night. They moved some contracts around. Nerlens Noel gone. Alec Burks gone. A couple of second-round picks gone to clear out that cap space. And all expectations, Rick, are that the Knicks have found their point guard, and it will be Jalen Brunson. So the Knicks making some moves. We kind of first got this idea during draft night when they made the moves that they did, that this was what they were hoping to do. And it looks like that Jalen Brunson will be coming here to team up with his dad, who is part of the Knicks staff now, and Leon Rose, who was his former agent, and the Knicks have finally found their point guard.
Yeah, I mean, this was the expectation that at some point during this offseason, either through the draft or free agency, they would find their point guard. It was going to be Jaden Ivey, or if that didn't work out, then it was going to be Jalen Brunson. I mean, they made the moves, right? Like bringing his dad. They have the connection with Leon Rose's son's his agent, and then, you know, they started clearing out money. First Kemba, now Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel. And I get it. Like, people are going to focus on the money, and you have to understand, like, when you go shopping in free agency, you're probably going to have to overpay, especially with where the Knicks are at this point. I mean, we touched on it earlier on the show. It's like you had to jump through all these hoops just to get Jalen Brunson to want to be a Knick. Like, this wasn't just to, like, hey, you know, here's the offer. It's an attractive situation. It's going to be your team to run. Why don't you come be a Knick? No, it's we have the tie with the agent. We have you're going to hire your dad. And then we're going to pay you, you know, what's it being reported now? 4 for $100? Maybe a little bit more than that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that tells you everything you need to know about where the Knicks are at right now and how desperate they are to get a point guard after what happened last season.
When the whole thing went down with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving going to Brooklyn, I think that everybody was on the same page in that if you're a Knicks fan, you can't expect anyone to come here and be your savior until you do the work, right? You have to put in the work. You have to build a team that is, you know, is at a certain level before you can expect any high level player to come here and take your money. They're not going to come here and save you from yourself. And last offseason, the Knicks didn't do any work. And the work that they did, it wasn't like they started eating, riding, exercising. No, they went to In-N-Out Burger every single day and packed on the pound. So, like, to get a free agent, even of Jalen Brunson's level, is pretty, you know, like, they're overpaying him. We know that. But you have to do that when you're at the stage that you're at. And they had to be able to cash in. It would be organizational malpractice if the Knicks went into this offseason and did not solve the number one issue, right? Like, we always talk about the Jets and the Giants, whoever the GM, they have to fix the offensive line. That's the first thing that they got to do. The first thing that Leon Rose had to do when he came here was get the Knicks a point guard, and they've gotten themselves a point guard. Now, is it an overpay? Absolutely. Are you paying him kind of on potential rather than what he has done up to this point? Yes. But that's the cost. That was the price that product cost. So if you want to, it's all well and good to say, well, I don't want to pay that price. I want to pay. There's no other you're going to have to pay that price somewhere. And this is with a guy that you know because you've got connections to So this is the way the Knicks are going to solve it. And I think it gives them at least someone at the position far better than anybody here the last decade or so that actually can play the level, play the position at a reasonably high level.
Yeah, to the point you just made, as far as every Knicks fan hoping that, you know, it was going to be Donovan Mitchell or, you know, for some reason Dame Lillard would decide he wanted to be the bigger market and come to the New York Knicks. And you mentioned doing the work. It felt like, to me, and I think a lot of Knicks fans, after year one, you know, all of a sudden you surprise everyone, you're the fourth seed, that, you know, there's the potential that the Knicks kind of turning themselves into, you know, maybe a destination. They're doing the work. They got some young players. They're getting healthy, that maybe this is a place that people want to go. And then last year happens, and it feels like you lose all that goodwill. So now you're in a spot where we all understand what they need. It didn't work out last year. And I think what makes it a little clunky and kind of like a bad look right now for Leon Rose is that he's already trying to clean up the mess that he just made last season. I think that's kind of what makes it a bad look, is that the moves that you made legitimately last season are the ones you're trying to clean up now. We're attaching picks to get rid of Kemba. We got to get rid of Nerlens Noel to clear cap space to get what you needed last year, which you didn't get, which was a point guard. So I can understand why there's a little bit of frustration, but this is something that had to be done. In the hope, the goal has to be that because you have a point guard now, it makes it easier for everyone else on the floor. It's going to make Julius Randle better. He won't be asked to handle the ball as much. So, you know, we can eliminate the frustration of that and the turnovers and everything else, and that RJ Barrett can take that next step. Because that's, I mean, he's the one guy that you would point to on this team right now. Because we all get it in the NBA. You got to have multiple stars. Well, we don't have one yet. And if for some reason, you know, Jalen Brunson helps to facilitate that with RJ Barrett, then it's worth every penny that you're going to pay this guy. That's the reality of the situation. It's not about Jalen Brunson becoming a star. I don't know if Jalen Brunson's capable of being a star. But if he can turn RJ Barrett into a legitimate all-star, then that's money well spent. Because where else are you getting the star unless you develop them yourself? You're not. You haven't been able to.
You got
to
do the work, right? You can't be expecting to take some magic bullet or have some magic pill that all of a sudden takes you from where you are, and all of a sudden you're jumping over all these steps. And what are we to, you know, like the frustration with Joey Gallo? It's always swinging for the fences. The Knicks have been swinging for the fences for the last 20 years, and they've made contact about as often as Joey Gallo has. So it has to be about, you know what? Maybe they just need like a base hit to center. Maybe they just need like a solid double. And I get that you're paying Jalen Brunson like it as if it were a home run. But again, if that's what something costs and you want to buy it, that's what you have to pay. So yes, it is an overpay. I would agree with that. And the fact that you're now locked into Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson for $230 million for the next four seasons doesn't make me feel all that great. But I have to figure out some path forward. We're at where we're at. The moves that you made last offseason were disasters. And you have to admit that mistake and move on. Whatever it's going to cost you to get rid of those mistakes, you're going to have to do, and you're going to have to move forward. So at least I think this gives you a little bit of a safer floor where, again, I don't know what Jalen Brunson's going to be here with the Knicks. I can tell you right now, I'm confident in saying that he will be as good, if not better, than every point guard the Knicks have had for the last decade, with maybe the exception of Derrick Rose when he's been healthy, mainly because all those other guys were not very good. Were not very good.
No, they weren't, and they haven't been. And it's been a struggle to find that guy. And you've had plenty of opportunities to do it through the draft, and you haven't done it. You've made some bad decisions. So now you're in a spot where, again, I don't understand why people are so surprised. Like, what? Like, we went over this before the draft. If you couldn't get Jaden Ivey, then the next best option would be, because I don't know how many people wanted to trade for Malcolm Brogdon, was going to be probably Jalen Brunson.
No.
What was the expectation? That he was going to give you a discount? Like, you were just going to pay? Like, he was going to come on the cheap? It's free agency. This is what happens in free agency. Like, if you identify a guy that you want, like, as soon as free agency opens, there's going to be competition here. This is the guy that we want. And there's competition with Dallas because they can offer him an extra year. What did you think was going to happen? He was going to give you a discount because his dad was in the coaching staff? No, it was going to cost you more. That's why it's so important to draft your own players and develop your own players and keep your own players, which is another thing the Knicks haven't been able to do.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think you have to give yourself It's about putting people in the spot to succeed that you already have on the roster. So now you're not going to have to be, you know, asking Randall to bring the ball up the court and handle the ball as much as he has, and the frustration you get watching him, you know, trying to back down on the box and everything like that. Now you have a point guard that should be able to run the offense, put people in positions to succeed. And there's, I mean, you just take a look at where the Knicks have been at the point guard position. Even if you get league average production out of Jalen Brunson, that will be a giant. And I think you'll get better than league average, but even that level of production would be a massive step forward considering what you watched last year. You watched Alec Burks trying to be the point guard. You tried, you know, Kemba was clearly washed. I mean, they did not have one, so there's no bigger area of need for a team in New York maybe than the Knicks needing a point guard.
Yeah, but I think what you just said is the most important thing. It allows the players that are already on this team to settle into a role that best suits them. Like, as excited as people are about IQ, I don't think IQ was ever going to be the lead guard for the Knicks. Like, that's not where he's best suited. So now he gets to go back to being what he doing what he does best, which is, I mean, for me, coming off as a sixth man coming off the bench and just getting buckets is, I think, what he's going to do, what he'll excel at. And taking some of the pressure off of RJ and Julius, especially Julius. Like, and he has to be willing to accept that Jalen Brunson is going to be the one that's going to make it easier for him, because it always looks hard. It always, like, it's even the shots he takes are hard shots. Like, he's the one guy that's going to have to buy in if this thing is going to work. Because last year what happened to him was, I mean, that was, and it happened fast, was unacceptable. Like, if it's going to work, your best players have to buy into it. And I don't think that's going to be a problem with RJ Barrett. So the one guy that you would point to is Julius to buy in.
And look, I'm not telling you that the moves don't have any downsides. You know, I think that you've seen the flaws of the idea of hiring the former agent as the GM. Like, even with that move and all the relationships that Leon Rose has with Jalen Brunson and the Brunson family, you still had to wildly overpay to get him here. But I think what this shows you is, like, if you're not a fan of this move, then I think that you're probably not a fan of this front office. And if that's the case, this is an all-in move. If this move does not work, these guys won't be here.
The fans wanted to fire Tibbs after last season.
Yeah.
Forget if we have another season. Like, you know what this feels like? It feels like the Knicks trying to find a point guard feels like the Cleveland Browns trying to find a quarterback.
Right. Well, let's hope that this one clearly is going to turn out better than that one, at least so
far.
Well,
no, but what the Knicks fan is looking for is, now, all the off-the-field issues aside.
Right.
Like, that kind of splashy move where it's, you know, Deshaun Watson signs, instantly he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, boom, we got our guy. That's what the hope has always been, is that we bring in the Donovan Mitchell, whoever it is. We're going to get KD and Kyrie. That was the hope. That hasn't worked out. It'd be like...
Well, but you know what the funny thing is even with Donovan Mitchell, Rick, like, there are Knicks fans who are like, well, you know, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. And he, you know, in the playoffs, the Jazz have been... if you're one of these people that's like, well, no, that's not good enough. Who's good enough? There's like three guys that you guys would consider, you know, we had callers before. Oh, you know, Chris Paul, in the finals, he always falls apart. Like, guys, where do you think you are? Who do you think you are?
Right. It's the finals. And what has Chris Paul done for Devin Booker? Like, that's the hope for me. Now, Jalen Brunson isn't Chris Paul by any means. But again, in order to take that next step as a franchise, you have to develop a star, because you haven't been able to go out and get one. And the only one right now you can point to on your roster that has that potential is RJ Barrett. So it's up to the organization to do whatever they can to try to facilitate that and at least give it a chance to work. Because without a point guard, it has no chance to work.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Tannenbaum up shortly here. Talk a little NFL stuff as we get a little closer to training camp. It's starting to be that time of year, Rick. I always say, like, when you're a kid, July 4th is the start of the summer. When you're an adult, July 4th is the end of the summer. You blink and it's Labor Day. And July 4th right around the corner, my friend.
Yeah, I would imagine too for the NFL players, once you hit July 4th, it starts to get real as far as you have to be back for training camp soon. Like, that's when the training really kind of ratchets up a little bit.
And we now have Mike Tannenbaum with us. Mike, it's Gordon Damer in for Dave today. How we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
I guess we'll start with the Browns stuff with everything going on with Deshaun Watson. I won't make you predict how that thing's going to turn out. But just on the other side, with the possibility that he does serve a reasonably long suspension, the topic of Baker Mayfield has come back up. Is there any way that the Browns can actually mend that relationship in your eyes?
You know, a couple months ago I would say no, but the more I think about it, I think it's certainly a marriage of convenience. And what I mean by that is, certainly for Cleveland, you're better off going to a season, presumably, if Deshaun Watson's not eligible, depending on how that suspension goes, with the combination of Baker Mayfield and Jacoby Brissett. And if I'm Baker Mayfield, I want to go back there, not to help the Cleveland Browns, but to help Baker Mayfield. And what I mean by that is, he is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. There is no better place for him to have a good year than with the Cleveland Browns. So if I'm him, I'm trying to take care of myself. And the best way to take care of myself is to be a Brown in 2022.
That's what I was going to say, Mike. I mean, listen, I get it. You know, egos and, you know, feelings have been hurt and everything else. But I would imagine just for Baker Mayfield, knowing the system, it's a talented team. Like, to step back and be the quarterback for Cleveland seems like a much better fit than all of a sudden trying to, you know, if things work out right, he gets traded to Seattle or Carolina, wherever. With a new system, that it'd be much easier for him to jump in and have success right away with Cleveland, no?
You know, Rick, speaking of egos, I just can't put my finger on it, but something about the show just seems really good today. I don't know what's missing or what's changed.
Mike, you nailed it. I agree.
I mean, it just seems like a well-oiled machine. You know, you talk about egos good and point. People not being there or liability and not being great teammates. So, before I answer the question, Rick, I just got to say there's a certain flow today that just feels right today. So, but, you know, in all seriousness, again, I've been in weird situations in 20-plus years of the NFL, signing quarterbacks late, taking Jay Cutler out of a broadcast booth, training for Brett Favre. Like, every situation's unique. But if I'm Baker Mayfield, again, like, Rick, like, again, people are saying, like, oh, why would he do that to help the Browns? I just see it differently. Like, go do it to help yourself.
But are there guys, Mike, that you've come across that you can have all the rational reasons in the world, but it just doesn't connect with them? Because it feels like, I don't want to put you on the spot, but it just feels like Baker Mayfield has been a very emotional player, which sometimes is a strength, but it feels like in certain situations it's obviously a weakness.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But you know what? Like, we all live and learn in life. And if I'm him, the honest, sober truth is, nobody wanted him. And, you know, I thought for sure, like, a team like Carolina would be better off with Baker Mayfield going without him, or Seattle. But they didn't feel that way. So I could be this, I could be that if I'm Baker Mayfield. But at the end of the day, my best opportunity to play great football is with Cleveland this year.
Mike, speaking of quarterbacks that could eventually be on the move, what do you think happens with Jimmy Garoppolo?
You know, I've said this for a while. I'm hard-pressed, Rick, to understand how the 49ers are better without him. He's a guy that took him to Super Bowl just a couple of years ago. They got to the championship game last year. Why not keep him and Trey Lance? Again, it's a 17-game season. If I'm the 49ers, I'm not trading him this year. Bring Trey Lance along slowly and then reevaluate.
It sounds like it's a money thing with him, though, Mike. It sounds like they want to get deals done. They want to get, I mean, they're going to have to get something done with Debo and then Bosa, and that his money on the cap would affect that. But listen, I don't disagree, but I think part of that is what you just said. And when you were taking shots at Dave, just egos, when you trade as much as they traded for Trey Lance, that, you know, you kind of feel the pressure to put him in and prove to people why you drafted him, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say we're taking shots. We just go by what we see, right? I mean, it's just having a great conversation. This is great morning radio. So, but again, you know, what's best for the 49ers? It's to have depth at that position. Guys, we're talking about the rigors of a 17-game season. Trey Lance has great upside. I'd love him for the next 10 years. But for this season, I want both of those guys.
Speaking of interesting situations, just to bring it home here with the Jets, a lot of questions surrounding Mekhi Becton and what his future is with the Jets. He's a guy that was a very high draft pick, at times has played well, but has not stayed healthy. What's your read on that situation, Mike? Because it feels like a lot of people are looking at it and are kind of questioning whether or not he is not only in the long-term plans of the Jets, but whether or not he's going to be even there by the time opening day rolls around.
Yeah, and for their sake, I certainly hope he is. You know, they've had a productive offseason. Starts with an offensive line when you want to develop a quarterback, much the way we did with Mark Sanchez. It's for us, it always started up front with a great offensive line. And Mekhi Becton has great talent. And I would just make sure that our goals were aligned. Like, hey, we're making progress. We need you here. We need you to be reliable. And to me, you have to get in front of it and make sure that you're aligned so he can have the best season. And again, hopefully play 17 games.
Mike, why are you GMs like this, though? Like, why? Like, all the red flags were there when they drafted him. Why do you guys always feel like, oh, you know what? If we put him in our structure, in our building, we can fix him. Why do you guys always do that?
Well, you know, again, I've said this before, Rick. Like, every GM has one mathematical formula on his board, which is tolerance. I mean, production equals tolerance. And he's a great player with great talent. And, look, if the Jets didn't take him, somebody else was going to take him early. I'm not defending the pick because, you know, it's certainly a grave incomplete as of now. But there's very few people that are his size with his ability.
So when saying what you just said about Mekhi Becton, and listen, I don't know if he'll be back. I have a feeling he won't be back. But we'll say he comes back. Offensive line was better than a lot of people thought it would be last year. Fant stepped in and played really well. You've added some tight ends. Everyone loves their draft. I got Dan Orlovsky telling me that they're going to be, you know, this year's Cincinnati Bengals. And then I look at a mock draft and they have the first overall pick because they have the worst record. Where do you stand on your expectations right now with the Jets?
Well, that's the big mistake. You don't listen to Dan Orlovsky. We love Dan, good friend, but there's a difference between a guy that went to UConn and a guy that went to UMass. So let's be abundantly clear about that. You know, I think that was the Dan Orlovsky that had Carson Wentz in the Hall of Fame, you know, about 20 minutes ago. But no, in all seriousness, again, I think the Jets had a productive offseason. I don't know if they're heading for the first pick in the draft, but I don't think they're heading to the championship game either. You know, there's a big middle ground there, Rick. And the most important thing for them is to make meaningful progress. Don't talk about cap space. Don't talk about future picks. Don't talk about how young your team is. Make meaningful progress. And people know that they may have a great season going 6-10, losing three games in overtime, or they may be a really bad 9-18. And the New York fan is a sophisticated one. They know what good football looks like. They know what a well-coached team looks like. They know what a young quarterback who's getting better looks like. That's what's the most important thing.
Mike, just going to the Giants quickly, a lot of optimism surrounding their draft and a new regime and a new coach. What do you think is a fair expectation for the Giants as we get closer to the training camp?
Yeah, now there's a guy, Brian Daboll, that doesn't make excuses. I'm a big fan of Brian, and you know, I expect them to be much better like right now. I think they're going to be well-coached. I don't think they're going to turn the ball over. I don't expect them to have penalties. He is a problem solver. He's a relationship builder. I had the privilege of working with him in New York. He is smart. He is tough. He will hold them accountable. I don't think he's going to let his guard down at press conferences. I don't think he's not a what you see is what you get guy, but he is a really smart, hard-nosed, fun-loving person that, to me, has a chance to be a really good coach for a long time.
Mike, last one for me, because I'm interested, and you have, I mean, you've worked with Bill Belichick. So we have no official offensive coordinator because Josh McDaniels is now the head coach in Vegas. And it's Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, and Bill himself working with Mac Jones. What do you think ends up happening there? What do you think he's doing right now as far as the play calling and offensive coordinator is concerned?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I have some experience with this. You know, going back to my Jet days, Coach Belichick saw Coach Parcells calling plays on offense as a head coach. And I don't know this, but I wouldn't be surprised if Coach Belichick was the play caller. You know, just from a standpoint of if he thinks that gives him the best chance to win, that's what he'll do. And we had a lot of success in those Jet teams, got to the championship game, and Bill Parcells was the head coach, GM, and play caller. So if anybody else could do it on this planet, it would be Bill Belichick.
Mike, I know it's been a while since we caught up with you, but I got to say, what a wonderful performance today. I don't know what it was about it, but you knocked it out of the park, my friend.
Yeah, and I got to say, like, it just feels really special, unique, and dynastic. So I can't put my finger on it either, Gordon, but, like, I just feel like the best is yet to come for the show.
All right, well, there you go, Mike. How can you argue with that? Mike Tannenbaum, of course, great stuff as always.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
The Knicks have been a hot topic today with the moves being made about Jalen Brunson. Looks like that's just a matter of time before the Knicks finally have their point guard after moving the two contracts, Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks, last night. So clearing out more cap space. It looks like they'll have even more space to go and do other things. So we've touched on that a lot this morning. But let's touch on the baseball a little bit. Mets, again, I asked you yesterday, Rick, if the Mets had anything to prove against the Astros. And you said no. And as I brought up earlier, mission accomplished last night. They did not. The one stat that they brought up during the game, though, well, let me ask you this, because you can go, this could be glass half full, this could be glass half empty. The Mets' record against the National League East this year is outstanding. It's like 24-9 or something like that. But their record against the rest of the baseball is a lot closer to 500. Is that any concern to you that the Mets are doing it against their division, which is not very good, outside of the Braves? Clearly, it's terrible, but they're not doing it against the other teams around baseball. Any concern?
Oh, let me ask you a question. What's the most important thing for the Mets right now? Is winning
well,
what?
The most important thing would be to get Jacob DeGrom back healthy.
Well, yeah.
But in terms of winning games, no, look, the first goal of every season, if you're going to have a good season, win your division. That's the first goal.
Okay, so listen, I mean, did I like what I saw last night? No, especially because I know I had to get on the radio with you this morning and listen to you wax poetic about your Yankees, who just
I didn't bring up the Yankees. We're talking Mets. But People are saying I don't talk enough Mets. We're talking plenty of Mets today. Getting it in.
No, but you bring up Mets, but you take a shot at the Mets when you bring up the Mets.
Well, what you just said, you didn't like what you saw last night. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to work off of after that performance last night? The game was over in the first inning. The Mets were so bad last night, they made the Yankees, when the pitchers tossing the gum at the little plate thing. Did you see that? They were playing
golf. It felt like
golf.
A waste of gum. It felt like
it was a waste of gum. It was disgraceful. And you know, somebody's got to clean that up, as Michael Kay brought up. Somebody's got to go clean that up. But that game that they were playing with the gum was more competitive than the Mets game against the Astros. So what do you want me to say about good things about the Mets after last night?
No, there's nothing good to say about the Mets last night. I get what you're saying, but yeah. I mean, you can't help but just needle me every time you bring the Mets out, which is fine. Listen, so there was nothing that I didn't think there was anything to necessarily prove, but to shut you up, it would have been great to have the Mets win last night. It would have been fantastic.
Now, what do you think they do today against Verlander? Nice little 115 start or so, right?
Nice, yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully for my sake that they're listening, that they come with their best effort and we win this one so we can keep the streak intact where we haven't lost three straight all season long. That would be nice. So it's a big start for Taijuan Walker today. But yeah, I mean, there are some things that when you watch this team play that stand out. Like Carlos Carrasco right now is struggling. He has not been good. And it felt like after the first inning, he didn't really have much of a chance in that game, which is disappointing because I was excited to watch it. So yeah, that sucks. Escobar struggling the way he's struggling, it's not great. Guy can't buy a break. Of course, I mean, it's...
The umpires are against you. It's outrageous.
And McCormick Carlos makes the play on him. Like, the guy can't... And you can tell he wants to have success so bad, and it's just not working out. I mean, lack of production from the DH spot, yeah, it's a concern. But again, I think a lot of us Mets fans feel, and I know the lead now is down to a four in the NL East, we feel like that we're going to... You know, we'll get Scherzer back sooner rather than later. We'll get DeGrom back. And then we'll address some of the problems that we're having right now, which primarily for me is the bullpen right now is not good. Like, Shreve comes in last night and Buck couldn't Buck couldn't get out to the mound fast enough to take him out of the game.
Gurriel was not even around the bases.
No, he hadn't even touched
and
home
Buck
yet.
Was
Buck
already
was
on his way.
I'm surprised he didn't just call for him from the dugout. Like, now listen, save the walk. You're out. But no, I mean, the Mets team right now, and I think you mentioned this earlier, when Scherzer went down, I think we all said, okay, the offense is going to have to pick it up. They're going to have to carry us. And they did. And now, you know, it's slowed down a little bit.
Is there a number in the division that starts to worry you? Like, the lead is four.
I've always
been
worried about
the
Braves. Yeah, but I've always been worried about the Braves. The Braves are a really good team.
But even now, four still is it's a pretty good lead, right? I mean, four is not nothing. That's more than just a good week.
No,
if it gets down to three, is that or do you start sounding the alarm bells? Is it two? Does it have to be a tie? Where does Rick DiPietro put break glass in case of emergency?
Well, I don't think I'm going to do that because I don't think this team is too well coached. I don't think this team is going to fall apart. They're too good to fall apart. You're not going to see what happened last year is not going to happen.
Steve RJ, Cohen, save that clip, please. Could you save
it's
that
not going to happen. Okay. I do not believe that's going to happen. But I do think that there's things that need to be fixed with this team. Absolutely. And I've said this the entire time, even when we had a 10.5 game lead, the Braves are a team that scare me because the Braves are a really good team. Now, I didn't expect them to win 14 straight, but they did. So, yeah, I mean, the Braves will always be a concern for me. I mean, if the Mets want to be considered one of the best teams in baseball, I mean, they're playing right now one of the best teams in baseball, and they've looked overmatched. This will be the fourth time they played them in the first three. They haven't looked great. It hasn't been a fair fight so far.
All right. I'm not going to bring up the Yankees because I can tell it's a sore subject with you. So we'll move on to something
else. No, you can bring up the Yankees. The Yankees played a good game last night.
They did. You know, they beat up on the A's, you know, best team in baseball, worst the worst team in baseball. Sometimes you can't predict baseball, but sometimes you can. They brought up with the Verlander and the Mets. Let's go on to Kyrie Irving, because I know that we mentioned, was it Monday or Tuesday? You know, now that he has opted into his contract, maybe we'll get a little respite from the drama, right? Like, there was so much drama surrounding, where is he going to go? Is he going to go to the Lakers? Now he's back. There's no reason for any drama. Well, so much for that, because then he has to lash out at Stephen A. Smith. And, you know, some people, they are turn the other cheek kind of people. Stephen A. is not really one of them. Here's Stephen A. talking about Kyrie Irving's got to show up for work.
You show up to work, then you got a future where you're going to make your money. You don't show up to work, you're stuck. Because even if somebody wants you, they're still going to require that you show up to work, which means those long-term commitments, that guaranteed 4 years over $200 million that was waiting for you, ain't going to work that way. According to Kyrie, anybody in that position pretty much is a peon. Funny how karma works, doesn't it? Guess he's a peon too, just like the rest of us. See you in Brooklyn.
All right, listen. Now you can call me a peon and pay me almost $37 million bucks.
I'll call me whatever you want. I'll figure out a way to swallow it down.
Yeah. See, this was really. I mean, if you think about it, I was going to ask you this. Like, if you're Kyrie Irving, like, why even bother about this?
There's some people, you know, the line from Batman. Some people just love to watch the world burn. Some people can't help themselves. And Kyrie seems like one of those people that he can't help himself sometimes.
Well,
like,
you know what's amazing though.
The switch, whatever he was on, playing the video games, talking about the cockroaches and all that type of stuff. Just can't help himself.
Well, but you know what's amazing, though? If you think about this, like, if you go back to how the season, like, you know, how the season ended, they get swept, and then they have the, you know, he's at the microphone talking, and he was asked the question, like, you know, what does this thing look like moving forward? So KD's got the extension. You know, he says, you know, I'm not going to leave my guy. I want to play here with KD. I get to, you know, I'm living at home. This is a great situation. I'm going to sit down with Joe and Sean and Kevin, and we're going to figure out where we're at moving forward. From that to now, all of a sudden, to this hardline stance where, hey, listen, it's so bad. It was so bad and so dysfunctional that we'll move off of you, and if we have to, we'll move off of KD because we can't deal with this again. Like, how quickly, like, to go from where you think you're in charge of the organization, you're the one that's going to help make these decisions to, listen, you go find yourself a trade. We'll do it. If you can find it, go get it, because we're more than happy to get rid of you.
Cockroaches.
Let me ask you this, because
I mean, Brooklyn gets what they want, though, because now Stephen A's not wrong. He's looking to get paid. You're going to have to show up and play now.
And what's interesting to me, and I didn't think about this initially, but any time in the past that anybody has brought up, well, you know what, the Nets have to, they got to get rid of Kyrie. They got to trade him someplace, do this, do that. There's always been two obstacles. A, obviously you've got to get that past Kevin Durant, and it doesn't seem like Durant would be willing to do that. But then the other thing was, I don't know if he brought it up implicitly or if it was just kind of implied that if you trade him, that Kyrie will just retire. Like, he'll just walk away. He doesn't want to go anyway. The fact that he is now kind of, they've called his bluff and he's back on this one-year deal kind of shows you that if he does get traded somewhere, he will just kind of have to suck it up and go there, right? He's not going to just walk. He didn't walk away from $30 million to go sign for the mid-level exemption. He's certainly not going to walk away from his whatever is left on his contract whenever he gets traded, right? I mean, am I reading that wrong?
Well, no, no, I don't think you're reading it wrong. I think it was his camp that leaked out that if he got traded that he would retire, which made him, you know, what team is going to give up, you know, assets to bring in someone that could retire if you trade for him? So that wasn't going to happen. I mean, his real leverage in this whole situation, if he wasn't going to be willing to just walk away, you know, walk away from the 30 mil, was the thought that if he left, Kevin Durant would leave. Because that, I mean, that was, I mean, that was part of the deal. There were a lot of teams that would have taken, you know, before they decided to go to Brooklyn, that would have taken Kyrie, but it was with the stipulation that we're taking Kyrie and all the headaches because we're going to get Kevin Durant with it. And then as soon as it came out that they were willing to walk away from both, which seems crazy, and that seems nuts.
It tells you how bad it must be.
Yeah, or just, I mean, maybe that was the play for Kyrie. He called their bluff that way. Oh, really? You're going to walk away from Kevin Durant too? All right, we'll see about that. But to your original point, he wasn't going to walk away from $30 million guaranteed. Nope. That's tough. That's tough. And that's a big
number. I've not been in that position, but I would have to assume that would be difficult.
Well, no, I mean, listen, he lost a bunch of money this year because he only played half the games, right? Because he didn't want to get vaccinated. His Nike money, like, he had a dispute with Nike, so that money's going to be gone. So now, I mean, yeah, that's a big difference. Signing a $200 million extension is what you thought, to all of a sudden now being put in a spot where if you wanted to leave because you can't get a sign and trade, to walk away from another $30 million to go play for the Lakers for six? Whew.
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned that the drama for Kyrie really never ends. Here's Brian Windhorst on the Hoop Collection pod saying, you know what, Kyrie's not even guaranteed to play for the Nets.
In the wake of the agreement, I kind of thought it might have been I don't want to call it a win for the Nets because I don't think there's any winners here, but I think it turned down the heat and at least kept the Nets with two star players with all of their options for next year alive. And boy, was that not what some people, agents and executives that I talked to thought. They don't think this is over. Kyrie tried to make it sound like it was over. I'll see you in the fall. Sounds like it's over.
But he was supposed to re-sign with Boston too.
That's true.
You put any weight in that?
Well, kind of. I mean, I think he's more attractive to the teams now, knowing that he has to, you know, he's on. I think this is what every team would want. They want his talent, but they don't want the headache. So the best way to alleviate that headache is to have him on a one-year deal where he's playing for something, right? He's going to show up and play. Otherwise, he's not going to get paid. So maybe you get the best version of him. I mean, that would be more attractive to me if I was considering it than having a sign-and-trade from where I have to sign him, lock him up to a max extension and give him that kind of security, because who knows what happens.
Yeah.
Like, if he's smart, he's going to be on his best, like, he would have, you'd imagine. Right. Like, if he wants to get this big deal, he's going to be on his best behavior.
Yeah, but if he were smart, he wouldn't be in this position, right? Like, if he was as smart and as heady as he thinks he is, like, he's, you know, he's playing checkers, and he's playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers. He's operating on this higher level. He wouldn't be in the spot he was in.
Well, obviously he's not, because he just played checkers and the Nets played chess because they got exactly what they wanted. And now maybe they got the flexibility to move him if they want. Because, again, if it was that bad, but again, in saying all that, like, the wild card in this whole thing is what, like, how does Kevin Durant feel about
this?
Yeah,
that's it. Yep. Absolutely.
That's the wild card.
Mm-hmm. It seems like if he ever loses that man, he'll be out of there. It'll make his head spin. He'll be gone so fast.
Well, because that's
the thing,
though,
right? I don't
know
that that's possible to turn off Durant.
Well, see, but that's the thing, though. I mean, you can say that you don't think this is over yet, and the Nets may want to trade Kyrie, but if Kevin Durant tells them, listen, you trade him, I know I signed this extension, but I'm going to want out. Like, we move off from him. If you don't give us one more year to try to figure this thing out where we actually all playing together at the same time and take one more run at this, then I'm out. It sounds tough to say you'll walk away from KD, but really, will you? I mean, that's something you want to do?
When the rubber hits the road, that's a tough one to pull off, because it's not like the Nets have some, you know, budding future around the corner. They have no draft picks. They've got no cap space. You know, they've got no real assets outside of those two. And if you're
it's
going,
Ben Simmons.
You're right, exactly. If you're turning your back on KD, what you're saying is you're starting over, and you're starting over in a spot where it's going to be a few years before you can really start over, because you don't have any assets to all of a sudden make some quick change. All right, let's get some phone calls involved. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. The Knicks with Brunson, the Yankees win, the Mets stuff, Kyrie, it's all out there for you. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-919-ESPN. And Corey is in Greenwich. Corey, you're next up on ESPN New York.
Greenwich.
I was close.
No, Greenwich is Connecticut, and Greenwich is
the tri-state area, Corey. You got a point?
Get him, Corey. Get him. Don't let him disrespect me.
I could have said planet Earth. It doesn't really matter where you're calling from. It doesn't impact the listener in any way. Corey, bang. Go, my friend. Good morning.
Can the New York Knicks intrigue Zach LaVine to come to New York?
Does he have a father? Does he have any family members?
Who's his agent?
Who's his agent? Is he a CAA guy? If he's a CAA guy, his odds jump exponentially.
Now, I think isn't the expectation that he's going to re-sign with Chicago?
That's what I've read.
Yeah, but can we fit? If we bring in Brunson for that kind of money, I don't know, can we fit another max?
I don't know that they can fit another max. I mean, but who knows? Maybe they'll move off. Did they make any other mistakes last offseason they can get rid of, or are they all out of those?
Maybe Evan Fournier, we could throw him in somewhere with some draft picks.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Fournier's still here. He's making some change.
Can we do this too, please? Can I beg Donovan Mitchell to please stop teasing Knicks fans? Please. I'm getting tweets. I'm getting articles being sent. He's out to dinner with Emmanuel Quickley in the city, and he's wearing a T-shirt when he works out that says New York, and shorts that send a message. Like, can he stop teasing us, please?
He's going to be flying a plane with a banner behind it saying, get me to the Knicks later today.
Would that surprise you at this point?
Not at this point, no. I mean, he is everywhere. He's taken in Met games. He's at playoff games. He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent,
Omnipresent. And we could have drafted him.
Could have. Nah, you got Neil Aquina.
But we took Frank.
Frankie Smokes.
Because he fits the triangle.
Yep, that triangle.
And then we fired the GM.
Almost immediately. All right. Like, people are complaining about Leo. They're paying this guy too much money. Do you realize that in the last decade, they had a GM who drafted a player specifically because how he was going to play in his offense, and then they got rid of the GM who made that move?
That was sleeping during workouts. I mean, what a mess.
Oh. They went out and got Joakim Noah, who everybody – and paid you talk about overpaying somebody. Nobody would have paid him $7 million. They paid him $70 million. That was like a mistake in the moment. Everybody's like, oh my God, what is Phil Jackson doing? That was the moment. You ever see like the movie moment where, you know, there's a plot and all of a sudden the plot twist emerges, you know, like the person's been dead the whole time. You know, that person's, it's not really the same. That's the moment where it became crystal clear that Phil Jackson, if you didn't already know at this point, Phil Jackson didn't know what he was doing.
No, I think it was that was safe to assume at the time.
Whew, rough. All right, Mark is in Rockaway. Mark, you're next up on ESPN New York.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's clear that the Mets need to add several pieces, you know, if they're going to contend for a World Series. You know, and there's no question that, you know, having the resources that Steve Cohen brings to the table is going to be important. But at the end of the day, especially when you consider what Buster Olney tweeted yesterday, is that teams aren't looking for so much salary relief in some of these deals. They're looking for major league ready, you know, talent. And the Mets are going to have to, the biggest question for them is how many of these prospects are they going to be willing to deal to get some of the pieces that they desperately need? Because that's what they really didn't want to do last year. And I don't want to speak to, you know, years before, because you had an unqualified family member running the baseball operation. So it really is right now, for the Mets, they're going to have to decide whether or not to pull the trigger with some of their top prospects. And And that's really the only way they're going to be able to fortify the roster.
Yeah, but see, I don't know if that's necessarily the case with I know what you're saying, and I read Buster's tweet too. I don't know if that's necessarily the case with all the potential, you know, players that the Mets would be looking at. I mean, maybe some of the higher end. I know some of the pitchers that were mentioned, like Castillo being one of those guys that it would take, you know, it would take prospects to acquire. But that, I mean, that's one of the biggest strengths of the Mets right now is their ability to take on bad deals to get the players that they want. But the Mets, the Mets have to, they have to tread water here as we get closer to getting Scherzer back, hopefully DeGrom at some point, and then once we get to this deadline.
Don't you have to know that DeGrom is going to be back for sure before you make that kind of, because if he doesn't come back, is there any point on giving away any of your top prospects? Because if he's not coming back, you're not going to the World Series.
No. I mean, unless now all of a sudden you kind of, you know, your priority becomes someone to slot behind Scherzer. If you go after Montas or you go after Castillo to add help with the rotation.
There's so much riding on DeGrom's return.
Oh,
I mean, it's just it's huge.
Oh, it completely changes the whole outlook of the team.
Absolutely.
I said that to you yesterday. I mean, that's how you view this team is really, I mean, it's dependent on what Scherzer and DeGrom look like when they come back. Because they can find help in the bullpen. You're not finding a DeGrom or Scherzer anywhere at
no.
the deadline.
No, you're not. All right. Well, look, we've run the gamut today. We've been all over the place, and now. At this very moment, it's time for Three Stars.
Today's Three Stars. Number three.
Gordon, I'm going to start by taking us back to an earlier point in the show because there was something we touched on that we didn't really finish. And, well, I'm just going to take you back. Listen.
I'm not going to lie to you. I do like a nice baked bean.
See? And you're from Boston, right?
Yeah, Boston. So, the bean pot.
Right.
You're looking at a bean pot MVP right here, buddy.
I'm not really sure what that is, but yeah, I mean,
you could just tell by Gordon's tone he had no idea what you were referring to. Rick is not only a bean pot MVP, but he also won the Everly Award in the year that he won. And Gordon, you're asking, well, what is the bean pot?
Yeah,
it's the annual ice hockey tournament among the four major college schools in Boston, Massachusetts. They usually hold it in the spring. Is that right, Rick?
No, it's in
See, you don't even know what it is.
Well,
look at your old coyote casting stones at me.
Why,
you're not even sure.
This is why I asked Rick, and maybe you should. We should all learn a little bit about it because there's a big New York flavor to it. Look at some of these past MVPs. Tony Amante, Chris Drury, GM of the Rangers right now, Chris Kreider, Kevin Hayes, and some star power. Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey, Matt Grizzlick from the Bruins. There's a lot going on here.
Johnny Grizzlick, right. Yes.
Number two.
I'm going to give the shout out to the complaining Knicks fans today because, you know, we've been crying out for not even superstar point guards. We've just been crying out for competent point guards over the last 20 years. It finally looks like we're going to get one, and all people can talk about is, oh, he's not a big box office draw. We need a bigger star. Well, newsflash, guys, the star's not coming. You got to start somewhere. Let's get competent. Jalen Brunson, come on down. Let's start to make this thing a little bit better.
Number one.
Gordon, I really appreciated the What I Learned on TikTok segment today. Fun element.
It was brilliant.
Fun little show.
Mike Tannenbaum didn't even hear that.
I probably had the worst showing on it, but it's all good because I'm not known for my prowess in the game show, so it's all good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you, Gordon.
Yeah, much like Nick Point Guards, your performance today was so much better than your previous performances on any of the game shows that, you kind of nailed it there.
We set the bar real low.
Your hat. Right, exactly. The bar is so low, it's lying on the ground, so you just simply walked over. Yes, it is that time already. Rick, it is time for rule number 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DiPietro Damer and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.